Hey everybody, Dave Hodges here, host of the Common Sense Show. Welcome. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. And I will tell you this, I'm on the domestic terrorist list for Merrick Garland for two reasons. One, this show is decidedly Christian. You don't have to be to listen, but we are. And number two, we are decidedly patriotic. And that makes me a white nationalist, supremacist, anti-everything that moves. And I belong in a deep, dark cell, according to the new DHS management and Merrick Garland, the Attorney General. So he won't protect Supreme Court justices, so he certainly won't protect our rights. But this is who we are. Welcome, welcome, welcome. We have a great guest for you today, John Dislin, and we share something in common. We both play college basketball. Fortunately, not against each other, because John Size, he'd have sent my shot back up into the 10th row. But we're going to get into some really serious issues. He's wrote a great book, Nehemiah Strong. I love the book. It is the most comprehensive preparation book that is in existence right now. I've never seen anything like this. We're going to talk about some world events and how the book can help you. And you're going to want to get your own copy. Before we go to John, though, we've got to do some business. And top economists right now are coming out, folks, and this isn't Dave Hodges saying this. I'm just repeating the message. There are top economists saying that over the next year, if things progress the way that they are and we don't change directions, 2.5 billion people could die over the next year from malnutrition-related causes. In other words, famine. And this is a third of the planet, one in three. It's incredible what's going on. That makes this show much more timely. You've heard me talk about My Patriot Supply. Yes, indeed, we do. And we can supply your food needs. But with diesel fuel, the way it's going, I don't know how much longer things are going to ship. The truckers, as you know, told me en masse when I asked for their input, $8 a gallon for diesel is their cutoff point for profit. Some of the independent contractors are already out of business, so I don't know how long we can continue to ship. We are one of the few storable food companies in existence, and I'll tell you, a lot of them have sold out to the government. Some of them just couldn't keep up because of the strain of the economic times we live in. But MPS is still doing it, and they're still at the same price, and they're offering $150 off the three-month supply. You need about 2 years, so I would order in increments of 3 months to keep the savings. And the same old guidelines exist. 25-year shelf life, 2,000 calories per day, high in calories, and that's good because you're eating to survive. It's called survival food for a reason. So go to preparewithdave.com. That's preparewithdave.com. And the companion to that, and you're listening to the voice of the lone remaining vendor for the Alexa Pure Pro water filter. They already ran out once. They found some in the supply chain and said to me, Dave, would you like to sell? Yeah, and that's number one. By the way, if you go to waterwithdave.com, you'll see the research, and you'll see comparatively they're number one on a lot of different measures of water filtration. And there's other good products out there. And if this product goes under, which it will soon because they'll run out and they can't replace it, you'll still be able to get some, but I don't know how long you're going to be able to get anything for much longer. So I recommend you go now. Now, here's the deal. Same deal as the food. No price increase, still a sale in effect. Go to waterwithdave.com for more information. That's waterwithdave.com. And then finally, I want to help you have a soft landing. 4 years ago, my clients, the advertisers here, we're saying, Dave, we're really jealous of Noble Gold. And I'm serious. I had other advertisers tell me this. Why? Dave, we went and signed up for them. They're incredible. I heard this from our other vendors first. And then the customers of Noble Gold, who are our listeners, said the same thing. Dave, it's the best organization I've ever dealt with. What they're going to do is help you have the softest landing possible for what's coming by diversifying you. Palladium, platinum, immediate investments for everybody. But also, too, if you have a nest egg, you need to go gold and silver. I do a little Bitcoin because I think we're going to hit the dip and we're going to rebound, and all the negative publicity is driven by the mainstream media controlled by the people that are buying up Bitcoin right now. They don't want you in it. But that's another story for another time. But gold and silver, absolutely, positively, and they can gold back to your IRA. So if your bank fails, you don't lose it because gold's held its value for 6,000 years, and they will not pressure you. You can go to goldbeforelate.com and fill out a little form. Takes you about 10 seconds, and they'll electronically send you all the information that you're going to want to read before you talk to them. Or you can just call them directly. So two ways here. Go to goldbeforelate.com, or you can call them directly and skip all the intermediate stuff at 877-646-5347, 877-646-5347. You have to close the deal. They are trained to be non-aggressive. I remember the first time I did a deal with them to diversify. Okay, I'm ready. Oh, are you ready, Mr. Hodges? Are you sure? We don't want to push you. Oh, I'm ready. I promise I'm ready. And that's what they'll do with you. You will feel no pressure, but you can protect your nest egg. Okay, 877-646-5347. Those are the sponsors for today's show with John Dislin, Nehemiah Strong. Wow, what an incredible book this is. John, welcome to the show. Why don't you go post up, and if they front you, I'll throw a lob over the top.
Well, Dave, from what I understand, you're the kind of guard that likes to feed the post, so you're my kind of guard. So I'll if we were in the same town, I'd be taking you to lunch after our visit. So
my big men did love me. That's true. I was a pretty good scorer in high school. In fact, it's funny. My niece and I, we were back in Denver, and I was helping her prepare to do some things she needed to do to move. And one of the things was to go through all these pictures. Gosh, we must have gone through thousands. And lost to me, my archive. I got a few trophies left, but I had my trophy from my junior year where I was the MVP of my league. Oh, I get to brag one time. And I was a big-time scorer, but a 5'11 point guard doesn't have much of a future in college if all you do is shoot. You've got to share because you got great big men to take care of, and my big men love me. I did get lunches bought for me.
Yeah, I bet
so
you
that's
did.
True. Now... I've got an audience that feeds me because I get guests like you to come on. So our audience is very, very sophisticated. Very sophisticated. If we had a nation like I've got listeners, we would not have the crap going on that we do.
Yeah, we'd turn it around in short order, wouldn't we?
We really would. These people, they give me ideas for shows. They'll write to me, Dave, have you heard about that? I look into it, go, this is incredible. How'd you know this? And sometimes we turn these people into guests. But the biggest thing, John, that I found was the truckers. Truckers and farmers make this country go. Mm. They are the salt of the earth, along with our veterans. And these people make our country do what it does. And they're under severe attack right now. And I believe the America is being brought to its knees. And your book is so important. If you want to know about how to prepare for such and such, all you got to do is look it up. And there's a whole section on it. Mm. What inspired you to write the book?
You know, it started with Celeste Solem, and I know how close you are with her and how many broadcasts you've done with her and what a lovely woman she is and a believer, just really lovely woman. And several years ago, I was watching a video of hers, and she spoke almost in passing of what might happen if somebody comes to your door who's under color of law, who's a public servant, you know, whether police or healthcare, and wanting you to do something you ought not to do. And she mentioned a one-page questionnaire that could really put them on their heels. And she also mentioned some signage, a constitutional no trespass signage. And then she kind of went on with the video. It wasn't really the point of the video. And Dave, it just stuck with me, and it wouldn't let me go in terms of, wow, how incredibly powerful it could be to have a plan, have tools, and be prepared to the extent you could for that knock on the door, and God really just, I know this sounds kind of corny, but He just laid it on my heart. Hey, go do something about this. Go write about this. That's how it started, Dave. But as I know you know, having the book in hand, where God's idea of where the book was going to finish was way better than my idea when I started. And so that was the genesis of it. And you can see that's an important thread in parts of the book. But the book is way, way bigger than that. And frankly, I think it's more sound than that because I think it's more comprehensive now. But also it starts at the beginning, which for me is, I'm reminded of Jesus' parable of building your house on the rock, on the sure foundation, and And that's really where the book starts, and then it goes from there. But that's how the book started. But he took me in a much better place and kind of a more comprehensive place where I landed with it ultimately.
Wow. So I don't even know if Celeste knows this, but next time I talk to her, I'm going to have to ask her. We just exchanged messages yesterday on Skype. Now I'm going to ask her if she knows she was one of the motivators for what you did.
She does. I actually engaged with her early on in terms of her thoughts on the book, and then quickly I realized I needed to just get on with writing. And so but she didn't know until about a week ago that I'd gone and done it. Like, I just disappeared for 2 years. So I reached out to her about a week ago and I said, hey, I got a little something for you. So I sent her the book about a week ago. So I'm going to have to follow up with her and, you know, see what she thinks.
Wow. That's incredible.
But it's going to be fun to get her input. It's like, hey, you started me with this 1 minute comment in a video. And, you know, so here's where the seed grew.
Wow. That is just amazing. It really is. I think I know both of you too. Yeah, incredible. So let me tell you, when you start with your paradigm of preparedness, and it's a huge, I'll tell you, the Egyptians never built a pyramid this big. Mm-hmm. And you start with it. What's your foundation here? I know the answer, but I think the audience needs to hear this.
Yeah, it's, I'll tell you, and I talk about this before, I get into the faith-related stuff, but I think this is so crucial. And what's interesting, Dave, is I don't hear anybody talking about it in terms of the airwaves and thought leaders, as I think about folks like you and Steve Quayle and Doug Hagman and others. But everybody I've trained with in person in things like scout training, rifle and weapons training, counter-human trafficking training, 100% of them talk about it. And that's the warrior mindset. And what I mean by that is, you know, you don't have to be like NC Scout. You don't have to be a three-time Army Ranger recon unit doing tours in Afghanistan and Iraq to be a warrior, to have that spirit in your heart. What you have to do is, in my opinion, is plug into that Holy Spirit, plug into your sure foundation, and accept the grace and the gift of confidence and faith and peace that we get through our Savior Jesus Christ, and then everything follows after that. So in a sense, I guess it really is building your house on that sure foundation, but it's accepting and really embracing a spirit of victory and really coming to the fight, Dave. And I know you understand this I've been tracking you for years, but if you hearken back to your sports days, how many times did you go on the court embracing the concept that you were absolutely going to lose and there was nothing you could do about it?
Never.
Because you do that, you already lost before the ball got the tip off, right? So, but the antithesis is true. If your listeners embrace that warrior mindset, and look, it's highly scriptural. If you go back, you look at a great example is David. When he shows up with cheese and bread for his brothers and Goliath is blaspheming God down in the valley, he's incensed and he runs. I love how this, you can see this little boy shepherd running at Goliath, who's even bigger than me, which makes him pretty big. And he doesn't flinch. He doesn't look back. He doesn't try and take an angle to him. He runs straight at him. And that's the warrior mindset I'm talking about. And it is incredibly scriptural. Yeah, I think a New Testament example of it, Dave, is remember Stephen? And it was right after Jesus was crucified and Stephen went before the Sanhedrin, and he just, for a chapter and a half in Acts, he dresses them down with just pure truth. That's a warrior mindset too. You don't have to be carrying a shield and a sword or a sling and rocks to have that warrior mindset. And this is the hour for us to have it, I think.
I think you're right. It's absolutely the time. Because, you know, you heard me start out when I was talking about our food ad for MPS. I was talking about the projection of economists. And many of them are saying what 2.5 billion could be dead by this time next year, the way we're going.
Oh.
And this is why people, preparation was yesterday's business. People should do what they can do. But do you not agree there's going to come a time when product is not moving?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they're talking about the shortages of diesel on the East Coast. They're talking about the shortage of this, I'm not a trucker, so I'm not conversant in all the details, but this DEF fluid that diminishes the exhaust off the diesel engines, they're not allowed to run without DEF, and there's shortages of DEF all over the place, which is an additive to the diesel. It's just on and on. And so, you know, Dave, it reminds me, there's a little section of this in the introductory chapter. Well, after the introduction is a chapter just saying, hey, if you're not fully awake, here's a little premise on, how bad it's getting. And there's a picture of a somewhat famous stained glass window. I think it's from Scotland, and it's the Fabian Socialists. And it's an image of these two men, and they are basically hammering the world with sledgehammers. And the slogan above it says something like, shape the world to your heart's desire. And that's the slogan of our enemy, is they are recasting the globe, the whole world, into what they want it to look like, which is hell on earth. And I would really listen, if you're listening to this and you're on the fence about going with WPS and going with Dave, I exhort you to get some, because don't think of it as food, or think of it as storable food or what have you, or prepping, you know, because that carries sort of subconscious pejorative programming with it. Here's the thing. Your enemy will use every attack vector they can think of to get you to do things you ought not do, like get on a bus to a FEMA camp. And food, because, you know, they say that everybody, you know, without food for 3 weeks, you're dead. Food is an attack vector. And having storable food like WPS and going with the program with Dave is a way for you to cut off that attack vector. It's almost like having a lock on your door, but from the standpoint of defending you and those who you love by having provisions so you can't be manipulated. So that's an aside, but I just really encourage you guys to recognize that as an attack on you, and to take steps while you still can to cut off that attack.
Yeah, that's a really, really good point. So as we talk about progressing through this paradigm, which the baseline is obviously walking with Jesus, because he will not depart from you.
Yep.
And we have lots of scriptural references for that. I think my favorites are out of the book of Matthew. But after that, is it food and water?
I think number one, and I would add to your list, because I know you've got a famous list that you run people through, right? I can't remember how it starts.
Food, water, guns, gold, ammo, natural medicine, tools, and the Constitution and the Bible for Reconstruction.
Yeah. I would add God to the front of the list. Because
that's the overarching theme.
Yeah. If you lose your mind, like if you lose all faith and you lose hope, having the guns and the gold and water, you know, it's going to run short. After that, I think water is incredibly essential. You know, we talked about 3 weeks without food. Well, it's 3 days without water. This morning, I almost crawled out of bed, and then I had another symptom, and I thought, oh my gosh, I basically haven't drunk water for 2 days. I was caught up. I was actually speaking to a Patriot group up in the mountains, which was a ball of fun, but I hadn't drunk water for 2 days, and I'm crawling around. I have no energy whatsoever. I can't imagine if you're cut off. And then I know you've said, what is it? The Navy says that after, was it 4 days, that the number one cause of death?
Yeah, five days. Yeah. Naval War College in their games. Number one cause of death after 5 days of a catastrophe are waterborne illnesses, which is why we sell the filter.
Yep. So water is crucial. Food obviously is crucial, but water's first. And then you very quickly, you've got to go to guns and ammo, because you can have all the prepping in the world, Dave, and I know you know this, but if the bad actors that you've never met before sniff that you've got provisions and you don't have a way to hang on to them to defend them, you're in a bad place. They're not going to be yours very long. You stored them up for the jackholes who are going to come for them. And Dave, that takes me to another segue, and I actually write about that pretty extensively in Nehemiah Strong, is relationships. You've got to build alliances. The Rambo model is not going to work for anybody. It wouldn't work for Rambo. So building relationships with people now, finding out who you can trust, finding out who's like-minded, finding out who, particularly I think, fellow believers who have a moral compass that, you know, there are things they will not do no matter what. And you need friends like that in tough times like the times that are coming.
Yeah, no question. So how much food would you recommend people store?
I'm going to give you the answer, the same answer that I would give you if you asked me about ammo, okay? In my opinion, the right answer for virtually anybody, and unless you were way, way, way out on the spectrum, is more. And I don't mean to be overly cute with that, but wherever you're at, I mean, I'm at a, I am certain that I am the best positioned at that in my neighborhood of 570 houses by a wide margin. Let's put it that way. Okay. I'm still going to get more because for multiple reasons. One, you have friends and neighbors that you can help out. It's a great way to build alliances. We don't know how long this dry spell is going to go before we can right this ship. And before, frankly, God moves, because enough of us stand up and are praying for it, for us to turn this tide. So, you know, it's almost like building a bridge, Dave, in the fog. You don't know how far across the chasm it is to the other side. But when you think about the downside of the bridge being 10 feet too short, to me, that puts it in a right perspective in terms of, should somebody get online and order one of these boxes today from MPS? Because I'll tell you, they're the best in the business. And I have boxes and boxes of their stuff, Dave. And you've got to think about, you got to get to the other side. And the challenge is, that's why you're asking the question, right? How far is the other side? Well, however far it is, you want to have that much plus a little bit more. And so to me, Dave, whatever you've got, unless it's just extreme, is more. Just like the ammo. I mean, I've got my wife, God bless my wife, you know, she rolls her eyes at me, but she bites her lip. And you know, so I'm in accumulation mode on both, and I have been for years. And you know, so even though I've got, you know, the number of rounds I've got is at least four digits, and it probably at this point, well, it might be five digits, but for me, the answer continues to be more. Not the least reason of which, think about this, Dave, too. When the dollar goes to crap, you know that food won't, right? So if you need a mechanic to come fix your transmission or whatever, and that guy hasn't seen food in 2 days, how expensive is it going to be for him to get him to fix your transmission if you've got 2 weeks of food? What a tremendous barter item. Like, I other than ammo, I don't think it gets any better than food.
Interesting. Do you think we're going to see anti-hoarding laws in the government trying to seize people's food supplies and other resources?
Absolutely. I think, and Dave, I would really exhort your listeners, we're not in Kansas anymore. You know, we are in the midst of something. And what's interesting is you have people now saying, are we in the tribulation? You've got some smart people like Steve Quayle who answer in the affirmative. I don't know what the answer is, but I do know it's bad. I know we have And it's interesting, this Patriot group I was talking to up in the Appalachians this weekend, one of the things we talked about was attack vectors. And I just mentioned one, right, with the food. And water's another one, of course. Water's a more urgent one. But our – and I was really – I don't mean this kind of inappropriately, but I think it's appropriate. You have to give your enemy due respect. And unfortunately, we have an enemy. And I'm gonna sort of bunch them all together, okay? We have an enemy that is highly dedicated. They are highly motivated. They are driven. And they're not going to stop. You know, I was talking with this dear woman, Pam, who's been involved in anti-abortion ministry for many years. And she was talking about how dedicated Satanists are to their prayer watch in the middle of the night. They will get up at midnight or 3 a.m. and they will pray to Satan for, you know, whatever that purpose is, and their incantations, whatever. But the point is, we have a really dedicated enemy, and we have to have the mindset where we understand that they will use any attack vector. They will use any leverage point, or as the Bible describes it, topon or topos, a foothold for the devil, right? Don't give the devil a foothold. They'll use any attack vector to get to us. And that isn't, to me, that's an obvious one. That they're going to come for the food, like they're going to come for the guns, and frankly, like they're going to come for the Bibles.
How soon do you think you see this happening? Is it going to happen under the Biden crew? Not necessarily Biden himself, but the people that are running the show?
You know, what's interesting, Dave, is I think when we talk about timing, something that I know that you've noticed and I've noticed too is the drumbeat of our national election cycle seems to catalyze or create urgency on the time plan of our enemies. And so, for example, if you look at the just massive acceleration of the cheating and the fraud tied to the 2020 election, and the movie 2000 Mules and others just absolutely bear that out. So I think what might happen because of the elections coming up is they might strive to be well behaved before that. But then if they maintain power after that, then I think we have a new season, like a new thrust, a new surge of attacks towards us. So, but I think the timing of the election in November makes things interesting from the standpoint of maybe them pretending to be on good behavior until that cycle is run. And then, frankly, think about this. Let's game plan this out a minute, Dave. If they aren't able to cheat enough to hold the House and the Senate, what would they be willing to do in the lame duck period to try and hold on to power? I mean, is there anything they wouldn't do?
No. In fact, something I just talked to Bob Griswold about in an interview, I saw a clip of Nancy Pelosi on Fox News. This is her saying it, so this is not a conspiracy theory. She said, if the Republicans win in November, they won't respect the results of the election because the Republicans will destroy democracy. In other words, we will have to make them leave.
It's kind of the reverse of 2020, right?
Yeah, it's funny. Oh, you can't talk about election fraud. It's a criminal offense, according to the J6 Commission. So, but they can sure talk about 2022 and potential election fraud. And by the way, they're setting the stage. They're already talking about the voter laws where you have to show ID. That's rigging the election, in their words. Mm-hmm. Wait a minute. Tell that to a cop when he pulls you over. Can I see your ID and registration, please? I don't show my ID. It's Jim Crow. See how far that gets you. Or do you want a beer? Well, I got to see your ID. That's Jim Crow. Get the hell out of here. Here's the bouncer.
I mean,
these people are just out to lunch with their logic, but this is how they're responding to what they're going to call voter fraud and what's coming.
Yeah. Yeah, it's Yeah, and I'll tell you, that's something that I'm watching for, and frankly, that's something that I'm praying for too, Dave. And that's something I speak to somewhat in the book as well, in terms of our spiritual authority. And frankly, that was the chapter. It was really an amazing experience, Dave, to write this book. And that chapter on spiritual authority for believers, to me, that might be my favorite chapter in the whole book, because I learned the most as I dug into it and came to understand this astounding authority that we have if only we will walk in it. You know, because God is he's a free will God. You've got to accept something, right? Like the free gift of Jesus paying the price for you. You also have to accept that spiritual authority that he has made available to everyone. And so I bring that up because we were just talking about the lies of the enemy. Well, one of the things I pray for, and I do participate in imprecatory prayer, which is cursing prayer. And one of the things I'll pray for is, Lord God, you hate lies more than I do. And you understand every lie that's being told, how corruptive it is. Look at how the lies are destroying these young children in school who are being told that maybe they're a girl today, or maybe they're a bunny today, or maybe they're a unicorn today. And so these lies are just so destructive and they're so deadly. And I'll pray, Lord, let the liars who are corrupting our nation, our communities, our world, let them drown in their lies. Let them be exposed for their lies. Let them be dragged out into the light. And so as the lies propagate, I think more and more people are waking up. And I know, Dave, your numbers have to be astounding. I would predict that your growth has just been dramatic in terms of followerhood, because so many people are waking up. And one of the things I love, Dave, is once somebody's woken up, you can't unsee what you've seen.
That's true. But some people are denying what's going on. But it's mm-hmm. kind of like a drug addiction. You can be in denial for a long while until it catches up to you. And some yep. people are about ready to get slapped in the face when all the shortages hit.
Yeah. Now, I think something that's going to be trouble, I'll put it that way, for folks like you and me and your fine listeners is they're going to blame us. And as irrational
they
as
already
it
are.
Is. Well, yeah.
MAGA supporters,
I mean,
are the biggest terrorist group in the history of the country, according to Joe Biden.
Yeah, but that's going to go kinetic when people start not eating, not having gas, not having water, not having, you know, Netflix. Can you imagine? And one of the scariest things to me, Dave, is what's going to happen when all the SSRI people that taking antidepressants, what's going to happen when that gets cut off? I mean, that's going to be extraordinary. Not to mention,
I used to do shows with the late Paul Martin, and he was quoting statistics, 22% of the country's on these medications. And if you stop them cold turkey, they can produce some really adverse effects. For example, a lot of the mass shooters were on Prozac, and for some reason or other, they ceased taking it, and it can cause suicidal behavior or violent enacting behavior. In fact, that's actually on the black box warnings for the drugs. So to answer your question, yeah, it's a problem.
Yeah. But, you know, that's a one-off. What if there's 100,000 of those? And then it makes so much more sense at that point, Dave, doesn't it? When you look at the organizations like the CDC, the Army, DHS, who actually have published zombie apocalypse game planning. These are the zombies they're talking about.
Oh, yeah. You're talking about an island off the coast of San Diego in 2012 when the military was fighting against zombies in a real war exercise.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And you go on the CDC website, there's actual published material about planning for a zombie apocalypse. I kid you not. It's published on there. They have planning. They have recommendations for how to defend yourself and how to evade. And it's their future aspiration for America in plain sight. You know, they talk about it tongue in cheek, like, oh, it's just some funny little thing we put out there. No, there is a seriousness about it. And somehow in the, the legal requirements for the Wicked, there's something about how they have to expose themselves, how they have to reveal their plans so that then when we don't take action against them, we're complicit in our destruction, you know? So that's part of the economy of the Wicked, but it's out there.
Really?
Yes. and you're looking at it, you can't believe what you're looking at, but there it is.
I know. Well, see, I was mimicking the response of most people that would hear this that aren't regular listeners. Yeah. Really? This can't be true.
It's amazing how different people come to a knowledge of the truth in their own timing. And I was actually encouraging someone who I saw this weekend at this Patriot group that I spoke with. And she was lamenting that, you know, her husband was sort of saw some interesting things and said, to these different things, but wasn't really fully awake. And I really encouraged her to have grace for him because we all come to that knowledge of the truth in our own timing or in God's own timing for us. I mean, think about how long Saul went as Saul before that road to Damascus experience. And so I would encourage everybody not to give up hope for your loved ones who maybe see the truth a little bit, but don't see it fully yet. Because when they have that aha moment and when the thin veneer of the lie that everything's fine and normal, think about that word, David, normal. When that falls away for them, they're going to know that they can come to you for the truth and you'll be prepared. You will have maintained that relationship with them, that patience for them, and you'll be able to sit them down and say, here's the truth. And when you do, I know you'll sprinkle in a heaping helping of the gospel and really prepare them for what's ahead, because they're going to need, frankly, your help, because you've invested all these hours following somebody like Dave Hodges and others. You're going to be prepared with the truth for them so that you're going to be a harbor in the storm, in a sense, for your loved ones when they're ready to receive the truth.
It is. What other kind of items do you recommend that people engage in terms of collecting, preparing? Highlight a couple of things you have in the book on these topics.
Sure. I'll tell you something that I got more active on more recently has to do with certain treatments that, natural treatments that have been prescribed millions or billions of times around the world, things like hydroxychloroquine, things like ivermectin. There are ways to get those that are much easier than the FDA would have you believe, and that pharmacists who cut you off and won't fill a prescription for you would have you believe. And so that's something I've been a fan of here for the last year or two. And Dave, I don't think we're done with COVID variants. I just don't. I've heard about, Li Mingyan, the defector from China, who was talking about a hemorrhagic fever was the next thing on the, coming down the pike from them. And I think maybe the exposure of it maybe delayed the release of it. We know, and Dave, I know if you've got a wargaming mindset, kind of like I do, the COVID experience was way too successful for the dark team, the team of darkness, for them not to run that play again. Do you agree?
Oh, I agree. Totally. Absolutely. No question. And it's only going to get worse.
Yep. But here's the thing. And I think this falls under the concept of fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. This next time around, we have got to go, legally, lawfully, lovingly, peaceably, absolutely ballistic in our ferocious resistance to tyranny. And whether it's the mask, whether it's the lockdowns, whether it's shutting down businesses, but the big boxes stay open. I mean, if we go through another cycle of that, we will be a third world country. So we're going to have to stand in the midst of that. Back to your question about things to acquire. I've done a lot of interesting training over the past 5 or 6 years. And I know, you know, you and I are going to do some interesting training like that here in a few months together. But, so I've trained with really experienced, capable people who've spent time in hell holes, fighting bad people. And, one of them in particular, well, a couple of them, have really opened my eyes to communications. And that's something I actually wrote a segment in the book that goes into for a beginner. I mean, look, if you're a multi-tour, Army Ranger recon unit comms specialist guy, like the guy I trained with the most on comms, then, you know, you're set. Good for you. But for those of you who are not that, there are some simple, shockingly inexpensive radios that have extraordinary capabilities that you can go get, and you can I would say arm, but you could, it is really arming strategically, but you can equip your group with, and you guys, the strategic advantage you have, people who are veterans call it a force multiplier, Dave. And the force multiplier factor of having communications is off the chart. It's for a civilian who's used to just picking up your smartphone and calling somebody. When that cell tower system goes down, I mean, you can just think about how anxious you might be to reach a loved one, reach a neighbor, without that convenience of a cell phone. But the guys playing for the, you know, the dark team, they get to take down the cell tower whenever they want, you know? And so to be able to have a point-to-point system that is incredibly difficult to track, to shut down, to interrupt, is the force multiplier factor of that is just off the chart.
That's amazing. That it's so profound, the depth of which we're being threatened. Mm. And your comments have reflected this. And what kind of radios do you like, just out of curiosity?
The Baofeng, I think it's BFF8HP. Yeah, I might be getting the acronym wrong, but it's a lot like that. It's the latest generation Baofeng, which is kind of the Ford F-150 pickup of handheld radios. It's highly programmable. It's UHF and VHF. It's got multiple power settings. It has – and listen, a lot of this stuff is really simple stuff, Dave, but you have to – you only know what you know. And one of the things I really felt led to do in the book was to give people – the cheat sheet on, hey, here are the four or five things about whatever the subject was, in this case comms, you've really got to know that really multiplies your effectiveness with them. One of the things, the key things about radios is, and this is where it really makes you hot under the collar when you come to the knowledge of the truth about things, the FCC wants you to have really ineffective radios. And so they herd you into these GPRS or MERS, like family radios. Well, if you're trying to keep up with your kids at the mall, great. You know, get the 4-pack at the Walmart. But your limitations are you're so boxed in. I'm sure the FCC just laughs every time somebody, you know, buys one of those radios because you're really boxed in from an effectiveness standpoint. One of the crucial things to do with a radio is to buy a radio that has a removable antenna that you can unscrew, because adding a beefy antenna to a radio is the easiest, simplest way to multiply the range of the radio. And so you buy, and Baofengs do that. So you buy the Baofeng radio, and when you do, you buy the extended antenna. And something I do in the book is I say, you know, get this kind of antenna or this kind of antenna. And so from, let's say, a few miles, then all of a sudden you're transmitting 8 miles or 10 miles. It's a force multiplier of your force multiplier. You know, there's that. There's buying the beefier battery so that your life on your phone is, you know, hours and hours and hours instead of more limited. Something else, Dave, that is crucial, and I know your WPS friends sell this, and you might think about working with them to offer this as well, because I think this is a piece of the force multiplier puzzle as it pertains to comms, is solar battery packs. And so you get a solar battery pack from your WPS friends, and it stores enough power to fully recharge a smartphone something like 4 times, which I think is a much bigger charge than most of these radios require, because smartphones are so energy intensive. And so even if the power goes out, Dave, you've got radio comms that nobody else has, because you've got the solar backup in your power pack to keep your phones, to keep your radios charged, even when the power goes down.
That's a great point. That really is a great point. I like the Baofeng myself. In fact, I have one courtesy of our friend Bob Griswold, our mutual acquaintance here, and it really is good. Why do you think communications is so important with what's coming?
Well, and I think this gets back to your basketball playing days. You and I both know, it actually reminds me of Michael Jordan's early part of his career. He was so extraordinary and such an astounding talent. For the first 5 or 6 years of his NBA career, he believed that he was going to have to put it on his shoulders and do everything to win the championships. And he was scoring, you know, 40 points a game. I mean, he was just these astounding scoring, you know, runs for the Bulls. And then he really started getting wise. And what he realized was he had to lead the team to team victories. And when his scoring went down is when they started winning championships. And he won 6. And so my point in using that analogy is we can't do it alone. And in fact, our enemy takes advantage of that. You know, our enemy has a lupine detect, defeat, destroy plan. So they're identifying us, and that wolf-like strategy, they want to cull us off into singles, individuals, and then massively outnumber us, intimidate us, infuse us with fear, and then just have their way with us. Whether that's arresting us, taking all our stuff, putting us in a FEMA camp, whatever it is, it's much easier to do one by one. Well, if you have comms to preserve your team communications, then you guys are at the drop of a hat. You're at the beck and call, as are your friends, of your friends, to come to their aid when something starts to go down on their doorstep. And Dave, I was telling this analogy. Well, it's not an analogy. It's two stories, okay? These happened, I think, 5 or 6 years ago, in approximate time frame to one another. Two different red flag calls by police. Okay, one was in Maryland, one was in upstate New York. The one in Maryland was an individual, older veteran, probably kind of irascible, you know, kind of a loudmouth, and some do-gooder called the police and said, "Oh, I'm worried about this man. I know he has a gun. You need to take it from him." So the police came, And, you know, being a strong, liberty-loving, constitutional-loving veteran, he wasn't going to give them his gun. And a fight ensued. He grabbed his gun, and they shot him dead. Okay? So the do-gooders scored one murder on the veteran in Maryland who served his country. The other story is, as a counter to that, there was a veteran in upstate New York, and he was a younger man, had plenty of guns, and I believe he was troubled, you know, and who wouldn't be, seeing the things that these awesome veterans of ours see.
Absolutely.
And so somebody pulled the trigger, so to speak, on a red flag visit on him. A couple of cops show up. He barricades the door, and he starts calling every veteran friend he has in the area. They swarm to his house, and the police are suddenly outnumbered. I forget what the number got up to, 12 or 18 veterans armed standing around these police. They're not taking guns today, and they never came back. So it's the comms that made the victory for that second veteran possible. And when things go down and it goes wild weasel, as I'm fond of calling it, you won't be able to rely on a cell tower. And so by default, you're going to want that point-to-point communication. You know the frequency to go to. Your phone, your radio's all charged up. And everybody knows that they're at, you know, they're Minutemen for one another. They're at 1 minute call to come to one another's aid. And that's, I mean, I don't think our adversary is prepared at all for 10,000 groups like that standing up for each other. They don't have a grid to handle that.
Interesting.
By the way, Dave, let me mention one other radio, because you asked for a radio. I just talked about a good one, the Baofeng, what was it, BF-F8HP, I think. I think there's a better one. but it's, you know, it's a little more complicated to program, but it's got amazing capabilities, and it's the Baofeng DM-1701. DM-1701, and that one does two things that are amazing. One is it will transmit digital signals. So anyone who's trying to listen in on you, unless they have the digital code, they're just going to hear, it's going to sound like a sophisticated modem, if you remember back to the fax days or the dial-up internet days. So that's a level of security for your communications. It also will transmit in text. And so you can actually send a digital burst that is a text, and another DM-1701 can receive the text. And so you don't even have to speak. You can actually send text back and forth.
Wow, that's, you know, people really underestimate the value of communications. Interesting you'd say, yeah. This Bob Griswold and I talked this morning. We're going to do a show on preparation, and included in that will be the communications. Well, let's talk about your book. We've got a couple of minutes left. You wrote a book called Nehemiah Strong. First of all, how'd you pick the title?
Well,
We got about 90 seconds.
So. Okay. It's a neglected book in the Bible, but Nehemiah came back, led the people to rebuild Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. And when they rebuilt the wall, they built with one hand, and with their other hand, they had their hand on a sword. And that's the season we live in. We've got to build our defenses, but be prepared for attack.
Okay. And so it's a kind of a how-to. How many pages is the book?
480.
Yeah, I know I'm doing curls with them, so it's and I'm bench pressing. Yeah,
yeah.
It's incredible the size.
It's got 258 subsections. It's got 33 what I call essential supplements, things like how to prepare for how to do preemptive countermeasures for home invasions, how to make homemade baby formula that's 10 times better than the baby formula they're taking off the shelves.
Outstanding.
How to form up a mutual assistance team. I mean, it really, I put everything in there that I could think of to put in there, which is why it took 2 years.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to say this to you. we live in a time where you're not going to be able to get the resources you need, so you need to prep. but you also need to know how to prep, and you also need to know how to defend. And you're going to get that with John's book. John, tell people how they can get a copy.
Absolutely. Go to johndislin.com, which is my website. It's J-O-H-N and then D-Y-S-L-I-N.com. And Dave, for your listeners, if you put in Dave 1, you get a 10% discount for the next couple of weeks. So Dave 1 gets a 10% discount for your supporters.
Okay, very cool. Well, John, thanks for coming on. Very informative. Good luck with the book. It's much needed during these tough times. And we'll talk to you again. I'm sure we'll have you back on.
Awesome. Thanks, Dave. God bless. And hey, God bless your listeners, too.
Thank you, John.